Earlier this week, Radisson Seven Seas Cruises announced it will cancel its Dolphin Encounters program. The cruise line said it feels that these programs, where people get a chance to swim with captive marine mammals, run counter to the rest of the focus on ecological responsibility. Today we're going to look at both sides of this debate over dolphin programs. We want to hear from you. If you've ever gone on a dolphin encounter, if you just have a question about it, give us a call at 800-989-8255 or send us an email, totn@npr.org. We're joined now by Darius Mehta, Director of Land Programs at Radisson Seven Seas Cruises. He's with us from his office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Why did Radisson decide to stop offering these encounters?
We've been thinking about it for quite a while. We're not a big Caribbean cruise line. We cruise the world, and these mainly proliferate in the Caribbean. And for a while, we'd banned dolphin encounters that we felt were not in the wild. But then I heard from the Society for Protection of Animals, and they filled me in on how these dolphins are captured and how they're kept in captivity. And it was just really too much for us. We just felt that we were not going to support these sort of programs in the Caribbean anymore.
Were they popular?
Very popular, yes. The idea of the people swimming with dolphins, being able to touch them, stand in knee-deep water and stroke them were very popular, yes.
And were they profitable?
For the tour operators, I'm sure, because they carried a high net price, because I'm sure the facilities are expensive to maintain. So, yes, they were profitable.
You're talking about the capture program. Are the dolphins for this program in particular captured from the wild or bred for this kind of operation?
In the main, they're captured in the wild.
And they are then, as I understand it, exported for various places from countries. Cuba, as I understand, is the biggest exporter.
They are. I mean, I read quite a bit about this from literature provided by the World Society for the Protection of Animals. And, yes, they're captured in the wild, they're transported inhumanely, and their life expectancy when they're captured is so short. It's really frightening. And also the way they're captured. They're hunted down by speedboats until they tire out. And then they're captured.
Let's get a caller in on the conversation. This is Alan. Alan calling us from Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, hi. I took my daughter three times to Discovery Cove down in Florida, and the last two times we went on their behind-the-scenes tour, which ended up giving you almost 2 full hours swimming with the dolphins. And what my daughter did coming away from that, and I did also, was much more of an appreciation for the dolphins and also much more of a desire to be active in conservation movements, where if you don't have that one-on-one contact, I don't think you get that love of the animals that you would get from just the media or reading about it.
Darius Mehta, this is an argument that a lot of people make. This is helping to, in the long run, conserve dolphins.
Well, I would take issue with that, because even in great dolphin facilities that are held up to be the world's best, say SeaWorld, for example, the life expectancy for a dolphin is around about 7 years, whereas in the wild, they live for 25 to 30 years. So basically, we're almost taking two-thirds of the dolphin's life away. And I honestly don't see why you need to touch and stroke an animal to appreciate it more. That's fine with household pets like dogs and cats, but you know, we don't have similar encounters with other sorts of animals. And I agree there's a romance to be able to swim with these wonderful animals that always look like they're smiling, and obviously are very akin to men, you know, to mankind. But at the same time, these captured dolphins, they also have, they are very social animals, and they live in packs, and they need vast spaces to be able to socialize and to feed and to be able to grow and develop. And in any of the captured environments that they're in, first of all, their sonar becomes very confusing. That affects a lot of them, because they don't have the distances to use their sonar in and their communication skills. So that really affects them too. And many of these dolphins die in captivity because of boredom and because of listlessness, because they're not getting the stimulation they get in the wild.
Alan, would you reconsider now?
Well, we were told by both Discovery Cove and also at SeaWorld, where we went to, that all the dolphins they had were either rescued dolphins that had been found injured or were captivity bred. So I don't know the truth of that statement, but that's what they told us.
Okay, Alan, thanks very much for the call.
Oh, thank you.
And Darius Mehta, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Darius Mehta, Director of Land Program for Radisson Seven Seas Cruises. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Marilee Menard joins us now. She's Executive Director of the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums. She's with us from her office in Alexandria, Virginia. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
You've been listening, I know, to the criticism of the dolphin encounter programs by the representative of Radisson, which has decided to cancel them. How do you respond?
Well, the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums, the members of our association, offer these programs because they provide children and adults with a once-in-a-lifetime exhilarating and educational experience. And this creates an emotional connectedness between the guest and the animal. And this connection is what inspires these guests to care about the conservation of these animals in the wild. And I think that's what some of your guests have been, callers have been saying.
Yeah, but again, what do the dolphins get out of it?
The dolphins are fantastic, and they enjoy these programs. They are curious, fun animals, and they're there because they love them. We often see little calves who want to get into the programs because they want to see what's going on.
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. This is Paula. Paula's calling us from Centennial, Colorado.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Marilee. This is Paula from Dolphin Connection, formerly.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Marilee. I am a former marine mammal trainer. I worked in these interactive programs for a number of years, developing one down in the Florida Keys. And I will echo what Marilee has said, that they provide the public with a wonderful opportunity for education and to satisfy the desire to see what the animals feel like, what it's like to be in the water with them. And in the United States, it's really much preferred to do this type of encounter in a trained setting where the animals are trained for interactions with people in the water so that it can be done safely, as opposed to people jumping into a group of animals out in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, that is considered harassment under the Marine Mammal Protection Act in waters surrounding the United States. And the animals are given top-notch care at facilities that are accredited by Marilee's association. These are not solely in the United States. It is an international organization. And
but what about the cruelty of the capture that we heard about and the early death rates?
I would oppose the claim of an early death rate. In fact, there are animals in human care that have reached into their 40s and in a couple of cases, I believe, 50 years of age. There have been no collections from the wild in the United States of bottlenose dolphins for these interactions since 1987 or 88, I can't remember which one. In fact, more than half of the dolphins that are in human care in the United States have been born in human care, human care.
Yet this is an international business.
This is international, yes.
Yes.
I cannot speak for practices that other countries around the Caribbean have in place. However, I do know that some of them have branched off from programs that were initially launched in the United States, and I would expect the people who are organizing and operating those programs to maintain the high standards that we have in the United States as well.
Well, perhaps they do and perhaps they don't. Paula, thank you very much for the call. And Marilee Menard, you didn't get to talk much. I think Paula said a lot of the things you might have, though.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paula.
Marilee Menard, Executive Director of the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.